What does working with your underserved community mean to you?
Working with the underserved community is really core to my personal and professional mission. I was attracted to medicine, of course, as many are, to try to help people and make a difference. But I quickly realized that I wanted to make sure that I applied my skills in a way to reach people that might otherwise not get care. And so that's been a guiding principle for me pretty much from the start of my medical training.
Is there a particular story of a patient or one of your health professions in training, students or residents, that you'd like to share with us that sort of builds on that inspiration that you've had from your community?
Well, there's one patient that I've had for about 12 years now, and she was morbidly obese, I would say over 400 pounds, had multiple medical problems, including macular degeneration, so her sight was fading very quickly. And when I first began to take care of her, she was suffering from depression, very upset about her weight, and wanted to get bariatric surgery. We went through the necessary paperwork with her insurance, and this was about 10 years ago, so some of the guidelines for bariatric surgery were more stringent. And unfortunately, she was denied bariatric surgery by her insurance company. And the main reason was because they said she was depressed. So at that point, she had a fork in the road. She could, you know, just succumb to feeling helpless and feel there was no hope, or she could continue to fight and do something about it. And I was amazed at her resilience in that situation because she was struggling in an unhappy marriage. She decided to move out from her home. She began really working on a weight loss plan. She kept diligent track of her medical records and her medications, even had to arrange for transportation from quite a ways away to come and see me. And over the years, she not only began to have a more positive view of her health, but she lost some weight, not everything that she wanted to lose, but the internal transformation was just amazing for me.
Over the years, we've heard a lot about teaching health professionals to be culturally competent. Can you share from your perspective how you approach cultural competency development in students and residents?
In my work, I precept medical students and residents in the clinic, and so as we're seeing patients, I try to really encourage them to think about how the social context and cultural context of their patients impacts the decisions that patients make and the resources that they have available to carry out those decisions. In addition to working directly with clinicians in training, our Institute of Multicultural Health gives me the opportunity to interface with healthcare leaders and others in the healthcare system to help them also understand ways that they, as they make decisions around operations and other aspects of the organization, can really have a healthcare equity lens. We encourage them to think about things such as who might not be getting these services, how are my decisions going to impact those who maybe don't have English as a first language or who are challenged economically or who are not health literate. One thing I'm really excited about within Henry Ford Health System is that we have a healthcare equity campaign where we made a deliberate effort to say we want to make sure that equity is understood and practiced by all of our employees, staff, and research throughout the healthcare system.
In the center, you talk about part of your campaign dealing with race, ethnicity, and gender. How does health information technologies and the tools of technology aid you in getting members of your healthcare teams to document that and be able to use it in decision making?
We use those tools to help us look at many of the measures that we're already tracking, such as diabetes care, and then to go back and pull that data, stratify it by race, ethnicity, zip code, and see are there certain patterns that show where we could do a better job of meeting quality benchmarks. And I think having a very state-of-the-art electronic health record and information technology system allows you to look at your data and to really take an honest assessment of where you are providing equitable care and where there are opportunities to do a better job.
How do you take care of yourself? And what are the priorities that you make to be a well person in the system today?
I think the core things that I found over the years that really fuel me is that I love taking care of patients. The feedback that I get from patients inspires me. Hearing their stories helps to keep me grounded. And just that process of working with a patient to deal with the problem, I think that's priceless in terms of giving you a perspective of what patients deal with every day.
Denise, what words of encouragement or motivation would you give to the next generation who wants to follow in your footsteps?
I think that the next generation needs to understand that it really is an honor to be a healthcare provider. I recall very early in my career when I was working as a working with the National Health Service Corps in one of the loan repayment sites. I went to a conference, and there was a speaker there that said something that really stuck with me. She said, don't forget to thank your patients for letting you learn from them. And that really resonated with me, and it's something that I ask my medical students every time that they work with me at the end of our clinic session. I ask them, what patient taught you the most today? You keep those as highly held values as you do your work of serving and caring for patients. Even though you may get tired, you may get frustrated at times, it still keeps it fresh and new.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.